Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. As pushback and criticism from both sides of the aisle in Washington continues in a joint press conference after their meeting, President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin agree that if we're going to find ways to fix the problems of our world, then we will have to communicate and cooperate. And then it's important for the United States and Russia to pursue diplomacy. A federal judge has temporarily halted deportations of families recently reunited after they were separated when they crossed the border illegally. The ACLU filed paperwork claiming attorneys were concerned about rumors of mass deportations following reunification of children ages 5 to 17 with their parents. Judge Dana Sabral said today he's ordered a temporary halt to deportations for a week. On Wall Street, the Dow yo-yoing. For the most part, in the red all day today, but just a couple of minutes ago, back up into the green, 15 points. NASDAQ still down, S&P down 4. News.
Look out for an accident on Butler Boulevard heading eastbound at I-95. It's busy there already. We have an accident on I-95 northbound. That's the ramp to State Road 9B in the south end of town. And they're still working on some roadway debris on the north side of town on I-95 northbound just before Gulf Air Boulevard, still blocking the right lane. Scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Tuesday will start out partly sunny, high 90.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. You listen to Inspiration 316. We're all about the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyday miracles happening in people's lives, even when they don't know Him. God's still at work. Oh, my gosh. I had a situation over the weekend where my granddaughter's was kind of pushed into a pool and hit her head. And all of a sudden, blood was everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. But, you know, I've been praying for her and her family, all my family by name, 3-4 times a day. The blood of Jesus was over her. She, after that, you know, they wiped up the blood. They got some stuff to put on her head, but and she went right back into the pool. How about that? That is the grace of God, the miracles of God. Everyday things happen. Well, today's show is all about forgiveness. T.S. Roberts, who's a good friend, has a ministry that really is called Step One. This is a thing that God gave him. He had all kinds of difficulties with his family heritage. So we've got stories about T.S. Roberts. We've got scriptures here about John 20, 18 to 22. This is all about disciples and forgiveness. Again, we're going to talk about that. Rick Marks has a story. Great. This guy's a great pastor. He used to be at First Baptist Church, now is part of an international prayer ministry. He's mentioned, I think, in a national article I saw recently talking about his mom. And then we have Matthew West, an incredible singer. He writes songs about people, stories that people send him, which is pretty inspiring. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Leah Huey, who's our sponsor today with Flourish Now, the incredible job fair they had over the weekend. Then we're going to talk about Forged Forgiveness. This is Eric and Matthew's story. This is incredible. It's one of those stories you can't believe, you know, unfortunately. Bad, but turns into good because God is in the turnaround business. Paul Davis built an international company. He talks about forgiveness and got people offend you so much in a business environment. Joe Jamerson is going to talk about his story as well. and how he was offended in his business. And so we've got great stories to tell you here today. But anyway, we're going to lead off a little bit with me telling you more about T.S. Roberts. And T.S., again, really is about the Eucharist, the reconciliation, forgiveness of Christ, and what he God has shown him and taught him in recent months is that what's happened is we're not taking the Eucharist seriously. In other words, when we take the bread and the wine, ask for forgiveness of our sins, and accept the blood of Jesus over us and in us and through us, what happens is we're taking that for granted. We're not really sincerely opening our heart as we do that. And of course, in a church environment, it seems like it's pretty routine, just about any church environment. But the idea is God says, get personal with me, get deep with me, get into what I expect and want from you. It's so easy to hold unforgiveness over people, either because we all get offended or we get hurt or criticized or called names or even physically hurt. And we're going to tell some of those stories here as well. But here's a scripture I wanted to share that T.S. shared. And that is on the evening, this is John 20, 18 through 22. He said, on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples, that's you and I, when we came together, except this was written, of course, when Jesus is there, were together and the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After that, he said, he showed them his hands and side where he'd been nailed and slashed, you know, and on the cross, of course. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord and had fellowship with him. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. In other words, I'm ordaining you as my disciples. And with that breath on them, he breathed this on him, receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said. If you forgive anyone's sins, then their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And so that not only applies to them praying over people, but it also applies to us, okay? Because we are his disciple. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit is active in your life, you know how and when God is speaking to you, which is so wonderful. That's an incredible experience, and it's something that I cherish every day. But if you do not forgive them, those who've offended you, those who've hurt you, those who've hurt other people, I mean, we could be praying for somebody else. I have great stories or examples of that. A man in his business that I've known well had hired a guy who was an outstanding person. You know, only problem is he'd had several physical issues which caused him to not act in a normal way sometimes. In other words, he would miss an appointment. He would not even follow through with things that he said he was going to do, you know. But this guy loved him and ministered to him so much. But after 2 years of it all, he got very bitter because his business went down. He was very hurt, you know, and he wanted to blame him, which he did. He blamed him. And that's where he actually, what happens is, by not forgiving the man, because this man offended him many times, okay, even though he was wanting to minister to him and did minister to him, he did not forgive him for the offenses and let it go. And so it gnawed on inside of him, right? And so then what happens is that if you do not forgive them, your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, even your sins, their sins, then they're not going to be forgiven. If you're a disciple of Christ and you're not forgiving other people, then you're going to hang on to their sin. Basically, you pick up their sin with you. You carry it. You carry their grudge, their bitterness, their hurts. You carry that in you. We had a great example of that, of a woman that's a minister in China. And we had Mike Lynn come and share testimony. We used this story on the show, and he talked about how he, being in China for 13 years, and there's American missionaries that he works with. And some of them, you know, they get out in the field and they're talking to people and they're ministering to people. Sometimes they get hurt, or they get not physically hurt, but emotionally hurt. And even spiritually hurt. And so he's talking about this one girl came to him and said, I can't take it anymore. I got to go home. I got to get back to the States. I got to get over this, the guilt and shame that it's hovering around me. Now, first of all, China has a culture of guilt and shame. But as she talked more and more, and he said, well, what is it? Well, let's get down to the deeper side of it. What is it? Well, as a young kid, I was molested by this man. And my father knew it. You know, it was a problem. We did it, other than obviously I got prayer and I got ministered. What happens is that still haunts me. That's still there. And what he said to her is, you know what? What you're actually doing is carrying the sin of the man who did that to you. And she said, oh my God, that's right. I'm carrying his sin. I've accepted his sin. I'm carrying his sin. I need to forgive him. And that way I'm released from his sin over me that he committed to me. Okay. And she wrote him a long letter and evidently somehow communicated in another way with him, but say, I forgive you of what you did to me and how you molested me and harmed me as a young girl. I'm no longer accepting that the sin that you committed to me. I forgive you of it. And we had another situation at a wise council meeting recently where a father and a son had an amazing conflict, you know, and the son is getting in that age where he's out of the home now, been given a car, all these kind of things, but the father found out that he had drugs in the car and had other things going on that were displeasing. And so they had it out, you know, father took away the car, you know, and so now the son is out and saying malicious things about his dad, you know. And so as we talked about those things, you know, we realized as we even prayed with him and such like that, he has to forgive his son, and then he has to ask his son to forgive him for the offenses that have been held against him. We're going to share that story again with Adolf Kurz here in the second show that we're going to do here today. But this is amazing. That second show won't be on until tomorrow. But the point is that forgiveness is so critical in God's eyes, and we need to get with it. We need to do something about it. Now, here's an amazing story. Again, Matthew West is a great singer, wrote a song all about forgiveness. We're not going to play the song, but we're going to tell the story through his sharing about the mother who forgives the drunk driver. Listen to this story. This is powerful.
I will never forget that day, the day that I met Renee. Story inspired my song, Forgiveness. And it was a story that wouldn't let me go. I remember I kept her story printed out in my guitar case for 2 years before I was finally able to sit down and finish that song, Forgiveness. Renee's story was about how she lost her daughter. Her daughter was killed by a drunk driver. That drunk driver was a 24-year-old kid named Eric. Eric was sentenced to 22 years in prison for the crime he committed.
I'm really sorry to the families for what I've done.
I would give my life. I would honestly give my life if I could to bring them back to you.
After Renee lost her daughter, she said she found herself in the darkest place she'd ever been. This guy Eric was behind bars, but she said she felt like the prisoner. Why? Because she had all this bitterness and hatred built up towards that young man who stole the life of her daughter. Slowly but surely, God began to work, and he brought Renee out of that dark place.
I knew that was my moment, because he was sitting right there, that I had to look him in the eyes, and I had to say, I forgive you. At that moment, it was like the healing began.
Today, a mother who lost her daughter 8 years ago to a drunk driver and the man behind the wheel of that vehicle joined together to speak to local students.
When they give me a hug and they share their stories with me, it just lets me know that they can relate to me and that they understand that you don't have to be a bad person, you just have to make a bad choice.
Now here's where the story comes full circle. We went on tour this fall with the Into the Light tour. We played Forgiveness every night, and Renee was a special guest at many of the shows, and she shared her story with the audience in person. We did 4 shows in Florida, the state where Eric is currently in prison, and I was blown away when the Department of Corrections agreed to allow Eric to attend all 4 of those concerts.
Tell you what, if you ever wondered what forgiveness looks like, what redemption looks like, what a miracle looks like, what healing looks like, what victory looks like, what freedom looks like. I can think of no better picture than what you're seeing on this video.
Renee and 11 of her family members each took turns standing before a judge and speaking on Eric's behalf. They asked the judge to cut his sentence in half so that he could start a second chance at life. The judge had never made this decision before, but after hearing Renee and everyone speak on his behalf, he agreed to cut Eric's sentence in half. And before the end of 2012, Eric will be a free man in more ways than one.
Forgiveness, it changed it all around, and it let an inmate out. And as the song said, it set a prisoner free. And I might only be free for tonight, and I might have to go back to a prison, but I've been one of the most free prisoners in the world.
I hope this song, Forgiveness, and the powerful story that inspired it has challenged you, maybe even forced you to ask yourself some questions. And when you think about it, there's some pretty life-defining questions, and they all revolve around that one word, forgiveness. Have I understood that I'm broken, I'm flawed, I'm imperfect, that I'm a prisoner, and that I need to embrace the forgiveness God offers to me? Do I really get it? Have I let it wash over me that God sent his only son to die on a cross for me so that I don't have to wear the weight of all my sin and all my shame? See, we all have that opportunity to experience the freedom that Eric has, to experience the joy and the victory and the healing that Renee has. We can be prisoners set free, and all we have to do is say, yes, God, I need you. I need your forgiveness in my life, and I accept it right here and right now. I pray that you won't let another second go by in your life without discovering the freedom that's found in the power of one word, forgiveness.
Isn't that powerful? I love that story. I mean, that's what a sacrifice. We've got another couple of other great stories coming up here, too, on that same kind of subject. But it's amazing what God is doing. God is in the business of relieving us of shame, of guilt, of condemnation, freedom in Christ. That means we're not carrying the world's sin with us. If we let it go, we've got to forgive others who've offended us. To me, that's one of the most common things that happens. It's so easy to be offended. I mean, people that you've worked hard with, people that have you've really taught them good things, you've actually paid them money to do good things for you, and what happens, they decide, oh, they're going to do something else. Well, without even coming to you and say, hey, I want to do this, or I feel I'm called to do this, or this is why, and I appreciate so much what you've done and helped me with, but it's time for me to move on or to add new direction or something that might be in conflict with what we've been doing together. But, you know, that's so easy to take that on and be offended about that. I'm talking about myself here. That's happened to me. And it's really been a burden. It's been a frustration. It's been the kind of thing that I've been carrying. And I realize now from all of this, you know, I'm learning more, folks, than you are, if you're listening to the show on a consistent basis, because I got to dig all this stuff out and find it. But what happens is by taking on other people's offenses, they're not trying to offend me, you know what I mean? But I'm taking it as offense, you know, is that they're being either disrespectful or they're being they're doing something that is harmful to me that they don't realize is being harmful. But it's frustrating on the same thing. That's where guilt, shame, condemnation all comes in. The enemy loves to chew on us for that. Oh, you should feel bad. You should be ticked at that person. You should, you know, not do this, not do that. You know, I had somebody recently that I was able to help through the use of the special equipment that helps their blood move faster in the hospital and all these kind of things. And within a week, their whole situation had turned around. The doctors could believe that it had already given them 4 weeks worth of antibiotics. They only had to take antibiotics for 1 week. And they're praising God, number one, because we had tons of people praying for them. Number two, they mentioned this equipment that I let them use, you know what I mean? And that's what it's designed for. It's designed to bring oxygen and nutrients into the bloodstream faster and remove waste, you know, because they had a staph infection that could have killed them. But the point of it is that there wasn't any real mention to this because I could easily get offended about it. You know, and publicly they talked about other things as a reason for it. Personally, they talked to me and said, this is really good and it really helped and all this kind of stuff. But I could easily take that on as another offense. And I did for a while. And I said, realizing through this show, through this getting into this whole subject, that I've been holding that onto that. That's ridiculous. I got to give that to God and say, forgive me, Lord, for even thinking that way. Forgive me for being offended, you know, at that person or that, I think, in that circumstance. Again, the enemy just say, their enemy's looking for places to shoot little arrows at you, you know, and it says in the Word of God, put on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, listen, helmet of salvation, girt up with the loins of truth, shod with the preparation of gospel peace, and given the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. Hold up that shield of faith. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is stronger than a double-edged sword. It separates bone from marrow, soul from spirit. It judges the attitude of the heart's thoughts and soul. And so that's I didn't say that last part perfectly right, but it's in Ephesians, and I believe in. So use that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, against the enemy. Now here's Rick Marks talking about his issue with his mom and the bitterness, the resentment that came from early upbringing. Listen to his story. It's powerful.
The scribes and Pharisees show up with a woman caught in adultery, and they bring her before Jesus, and they ask a question. Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Moses and the law commanded she should be stoned. What do you say? Scripture says they asked a question to test him. He didn't answer the question. He stooped down and began to write in the dirt. Whatever he wrote, we don't know. The text does say that they kept pressing him for an answer, and at some point he stood up, and I'm sure he looked at him, and with a level of conviction, he said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And the text says that from oldest to youngest, they dropped their stones and walked away and left the woman standing there in the midst of this classroom. And in the narrative, the text really now is just focused on her and him. And he looks at her and says, woman, where are those that condemn you? Interesting, she felt no condemnation from this teacher. And she says, there is no man, Lord. And he says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. I use this as an intervention that I like to talk to people with about what forgiveness is and what it is not. And it's the idea that it begins with asking this question. Did the scribes and the Pharisees actually have the right to stone the woman? And the answer is yes. They quoted their right. It's in the book of Leviticus. Moses commanded. And that was the test. If Jesus said that they couldn't stone her, well, then he just set himself up against the law. If he said, you're right, go ahead and stone her, what were they going to say then? Well, aren't you talking about grace and mercy? And besides, only Rome can actually condemn someone to death. That's why he never answered the question. And so I make a parallel here. When I do, some of the folks who are listening right now are going to go, wait a minute, where's this guy going? So hang with me for a minute. So here's my parallel. Just as much as the scribes and the Pharisees actually had the right to stone that woman, whenever someone hurts us and wrongs us, we actually have the right to stone them as well. And some people are like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Just kind of hang with me for a minute. Because what I realized was, for every offense, there's a debt, and every debt's going to be paid. It just depends on who pays the debt. And so many of us, when we've been hurt and wronged, we get a stone. I have these stones here, and we get a stone, and we want to hurt the person that hurt us. That's our acting that out. And this here with the Pharisees, they knew they had the right to stone her. They had the stones. So I want to give a definition real quickly here before we move forward. Here's my definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. It is not an emotion. It is a choice that a person makes to give up their rights. Rights for what? Vengeance, negative thoughts, and giving consequences to their offender. Forgiveness is a choice that a person makes to give up their rights for negative thoughts and giving their offender consequences. You see, we all want retribution when we've been hurt. Jesus, in his statement to the Pharisees, when he said, you heard that sin, cast the first stone, here's essentially what he's really saying. Guys, I know that verse in Leviticus 2, and I know you have the right to stone her. But before you do, I have a question of you. Though you may have the right to stone her according to the law, my curiosity is this: who among you is actually eligible? The old one has figured out what just happened. Because the real question is, though my father hurt me and did things to me and I had a right to stone him, though my stepmother did, though others in my life have hurt me and wronged me, though I may have the right for vengeance and retribution, the only problem is I'm not eligible. You see, that's why I like everybody to realize that at the cross, it's a level playing field. For every stone that I can throw at my offenders, if I look behind me, there's people back there who can stone me. And if I want to judge, then he'll say, fine, you want to judge that way, Rick? I'll let you feel what it's like. If you want to forgive this way, I'll let you know what it's like. You see, Galatians 6:1 makes it clear, brethren, if anyone has overcome in a fault, you who are mature, restore that person in a spirit of gentleness. Why? Lest you be overcome in a fault. How do you want to be treated when you mess up? Do you want people to stone you? Or do you want to be given grace and mercy and forgiveness? And so forgiveness is a choice that I make to give up my rights. But who do I give them to? Well, according to Christ in the text, the only person who can actually throw my stones that represent unforgiveness is the one who's eligible. And so forgiveness really is a sense of I take my stones of unforgiveness, this is all my rights for vengeance and retribution, and I give them to the one who can throw the stones. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I repay, Rick. And I always like to tell couples that I work with or my marriage seminars, and if God wants to take my stones and throw them at my offender and give my offender cancer, so be it. If he wants to take my stones and give my offender a $500 million Powerball lottery, so be it. So let's talk a minute about what forgiveness is not. Number one, forgiveness is not forgetting. You know, there's that old phrase, forgive and forget. There's a famous book by Lewis Mead called Forgive and Forget. And the reality is that's actually impossible to do. If you were sexually abused, you can forgive your offender, but you'll always remember that you were sexually abused. Forgiveness doesn't take away memory. If someone's thinking, what about that verse in the Old Testament that God forgives and forgets? Well, if you do a really close reading of that, it really says God forgives and remembers no more. There's a very big difference between forgetting something and choosing to not remember something. I have forgotten my car keys, but I do choose to not remember the things that happened to me. Because when I do forgive someone, what I'm really saying is it's a dead issue for me, and I'm not going to revisit it. A few weeks ago, my young son of 20, he came to me and said, you know, one thing I appreciate about you, Dad, is that you were very consistent in something. And I said, what was that? He said, whenever you punished us for things that we did, you'd always discipline us. And then you'd say to us, this is a dead issue to be remembered no more. And he goes, you actually lived up to that. And I did, because I believe my Father does that. Our Heavenly Father does that. He doesn't hold it against us. Why? It's a dead issue for him.
Wow, that's Rick Marks. That's a powerful story, powerful teaching. Again, God is in the business of forgiveness. That's why Christ died on the cross. If we don't accept it, we deny him. We deny the faith. This is what T.S. Roberts is saying. We go and take the Eucharist and we don't ask God to forgive us our sins because we don't stop and reflect on them. We don't think about what they are. We just kind of mull along and keep going. It's a routine for us. Here's Matthew West, the song Forgiveness. Got to check out. We'll be back soon.
It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness.
There's an accident on the West Beltway 295 northbound beyond Duval Road. That's blocking the right lane. That's not too far from the airport. Also an accident on the south side of town at I-95 heading northbound. That's the ramp to State Road 9B. And congestion on the East Beltway 295 southbound at Bay Meadows Road. Scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Low 74. Tuesday will start out partly sunny. High 90.
It always goes to those who don't deserve It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness.
Welcome back. This is John Beaner with Inspiration 316. We're talking about reconciliation, forgiveness today. God is in the business of turnarounds, either the business of moving the world forward. The more sins we carry, the more we're going to be caught up in junk. You look at communism, you look at the things that it did and how it distorted people and limited people, took away their freedoms, you know, kept them living in shame and guilt and condemnation, fear of arrest. I mean, I could tell you stories about people have told me things that they've experienced during those years. But thank God in America, we're still working to be in freedom. You got to battle to have it, to keep it. But anyway, we're sponsored today by Leah Huey and the Flourish Now program. They just had a job fair just last week. In fact, last weekend, I was there. We did a quick little interview with Leah, and this is an exciting program. They've got another program coming up in August at the Crossroads Methodist. This meeting they had was at the 1122. Listen to what Leah had to say.
We're at the job fair. You can't hear all the buzz and noise in the other room because the recording wouldn't be as good. But Leah, tell us how you got here, why and how you started this in terms of particularly here in the Arlington campus, and how many people are looking for jobs and got them since they've been here.
Yeah, well, we've had a really exciting day so far. So Flourish Now does job fairs with church partners here in Jacksonville, Florida, because we believe that the church is a great source of hope. And sometimes people need some hope and encouragement to get back into the job market and to land their dream job. So I just talked to a coach named Tony who helped a job seeker named Alex. And when Alex came in, just wasn't quite sure what he was looking for, wasn't quite sure of himself. And Tony got him coached up and just so confident that Alex actually went back to a former employer. And it looks like he's going to get a job there, and this time he's going to start at an even higher rate of pay than he had when he left, which is just amazing. And that's the power of relationships, and that's really what we're all about. Yeah. So here, 1122 Arlington has been an amazing host. We have 30 volunteers today who are here just to love everybody, to encourage everybody, to remind them of what's possible, and to remind them of the dignity that they already have. We've served about 300 job seekers, and it's not over yet, and have had more on-the-spot hires than I can even count right now. About 90 minutes ago, one of the companies was up to 12, and that was just that company.
Really?
So there will be a lot more by the end of the day, but we're just really excited by all of the energy and the encouragement going on in the job fair right now.
That's great. Well, your mission has been to do what God's called you to do, and that really is lift people up, help them get not only employment, but better employment, to exercise all that God has in them and for them. So it's very exciting. Thank you for doing all this. And so 1122 is a church you attend on a regular basis, so it's easy to come here, I guess, and they've got their arms wide open for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. 1122 is an incredibly hospitable church. This is part of a serve day. And it's amazing because it's 1122 Impact Church, Amazing Life Church, and a couple of other congregations in Jacksonville who are all linking arms today specifically to love the city. And so it's been great to see this as one of those service projects, but this is just one of countless ways that Church of 1122 loves our city in just a beautiful way. So my husband and I, we attend at San Pablo and love the 1122 family.
That's great, yeah. Well, we got to talk to Dave Barringer earlier. He's excited to, of course, be the host here. And so he's talked about the volunteers and the program there. But how many employers are there, did you say?
There are about 25 employers with us today, and then some community resource partners as well. So some nonprofits like First Coast Women's Services, Learn to Read, Generation Initiative, Prisoners of Christ are here just because it's possible that somebody's, you know, somebody looking for a job may need something else too.
That's
and
right.
So we like to have
thing,
some
yeah.
exactly some other yeah. ministries on site just to rush in and help in any way we can. One stop shop.
That's great. If you can't get a job, you're going to get some kind of
that's
help, right?
That's right. We're going to help you somehow.
You can't get out of here without some kind of
cannot get out of here without being loved.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, thank you so much. I know you got here all the way from Pennsylvania
that's
to Jacksonville,
right.
but And your husband's involved in fitness.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's just the kind of guy I need to work with.
Captain America. I'm married to Captain America,
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us. We're going to get this
you,
on the
John.
Air. Anything you want to have people want to reach out to you or other churches that want to sponsor or other individuals that say, hey, I need to find a job. You got a website, too, that they could go to, right?
Yes, we do. Flourish-now.org.
Okay.
Again, that's flourish-now.org. So check us out. There's a Jacksonville-specific page. There's some information about our job fairs as well as a few other programs that we're hoping to launch here in Jacksonville. But reach out anytime, and we would love to work with you.
That's, again, Leah Huey, Flourish Now. Hopefully they've got an event coming up for job fair again in August at the Crossroads Methodist Church off Gate Parkway. Check out their website, flourish.now. Or flourish-now.org. John Behringer, I said, is the actual pastor there at the 1122 in the Arlington campus. So great to meet with him and talk with him as well. So we're talking about forgiveness today. Here's an amazing story about Eric and Matthew's story. Man, if you want to know about forgiveness, this is wrapped up in an incredible story. Listen into this.
To be honest, I wish that our friendship would have started under different circumstances.
I work as a firefighter EMT. I was just finished getting off a 24-hour shift. We had an extremely busy shift. I really only got about 30 minutes of sleep. I drove home, and I didn't really feel the need that I needed to pull over. So about 2 miles from my house, I ended up falling asleep at the wheel and crossing the center line and hitting an oncoming car head on.
I had just woken up that morning and I heard a pounding on the front door. And so I went to see what was going on, and the senior pastor from my church where I serve, Jeff, was there. He had told me that my wife and my daughter had been in a car accident, that I need to get my keys, get my cell phone, get my wallet, and let's go. So I grabbed my stuff, we jumped in the truck, we went to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, the chaplain met us the emergency room and kind of walked us to the counseling room. The doctor began to share kind of what had happened, that June had sustained severe head trauma and some broken bones, and the steering column had actually been crushed in towards her abdominal area. And due to the injuries that she sustained, that she had gone into cardiac arrest almost immediately. The EMTs did everything that they could on the way to the hospital to try to do aggressive CPR and keep her going, but when they got to the hospital, they pronounced her dead. My wife was also pregnant, almost 7 months pregnant with our son, and we lost him as well. Faith, who was 19 months old at the time, was also in the car, but amazingly, she came out of it with no injuries, just some mild abrasions and some bruises. Hearing the news, just trying to process it. Not only did I lose my wife and my best friend, but I also lost a son. And I went outside to call my mom and tell her what had happened. And it's the most difficult phone call I've ever had to make. So here I was, I just had the worst day of my life. And I opened my Bible and I was just like, okay, God, you know, what do you have? I just lost my wife. I lost my son. And I remember a sermon that I'd heard years ago just came back to my mind. And it was talking about how that there's a bigger picture going on, and that we have a tendency to look at our lives as little 3x5 snapshots. And we tend to get focused on, you know, whether our 3x5 is okay or not. And we lose sight of the fact that God is doing bigger things. His story is bigger than just ours, that he paints on a canvas the size of the universe. It was a turning point. I think it saved my life, because if I was left to my own devices, my own ability to figure things out, I probably would have just crawled into my bed and just hid.
Initially, I went through every emotion possible. It was really hard for me to come to grasp of how this could have happened to me and why this happened to me. I was a good kid. I was wrong. And how this could happen to Eric and his family. Him being a youth pastor and really living his life for the Lord. For the first couple weeks afterwards, It really broke me down to the lowest of the low. And one night I threw my hands up in the air and I just gave up. And I said, God, I need your help. And I'm really trusting you and putting all my faith in you that you had a reason for this and that you do have a plan. And it was that moment when it was like he placed his hand on my shoulder and wrapped me in a blanket of comfort. Initially, it was tough not being able to talk to Eric because of legal issues. All I wanted to do was to make sure that he was okay and express my emotion and sorrow to him, and I couldn't. All everybody could tell me is that Eric was praying for me and wishing comfort upon me, and I really couldn't understand that, but I knew that was God working through him.
So I got a call from the Solicitor General, and she was wanting to know how I wanted to pursue the case against Matthew. I could push for the maximum penalty, which possibly would have meant jail time, but would have definitely eliminated any hope of him being a firefighter in the future, or I could opt for a lesser charge. And I remember thinking that this would be a wonderful opportunity for God to get glory and for Christ to be lifted up. It's not going to bring June back, and I'm certain he struggles every day, you know, just having to think through what happened. So I just decided to opt for the lesser charge as an opportunity, again, to demonstrate God's forgiveness and God's love.
The day before the 2-year anniversary of the accident, I still had not spoken to Eric. I stopped at Publix to get him a car to just let him know that I was thinking about him and praying for him and his family. As I got out of my truck to walk into the store, I saw Eric walking towards me.
There were just tears streaming down his face. I just walked up to him and I gave him a hug. And we embraced for a short time. And then I began to share with him kind of what God had taught me these past 2 years and about the big perspective that, you know, that God had given me. He began to share what was on his heart. And it was just, there was a connection. There was a bond that was immediately developed. And we talked for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And it was just a beautiful time where we shared just experiencing God's grace, God's healing, the power of forgiveness, the restoration. I communicated to him a desire that I had to stay involved in his life, to invest in a relationship with him from this point forward. And he immediately echoed the same sentiment to me that was something he had desired as well. And we wanted to just stay in touch and continue to grow in our relationship with each other as we continue to grow with God. And it was just, to me, amazing how God orchestrated all of this together. I mean, we happened to be at the same place on the same day to talk for the first time. And I remember thinking, had we not met and had this conversation, we wouldn't be where we are today. In fact, it was an opportunity that God used to not only heal and bless us, but we feel like it's going to be one that he uses to heal and bless others as well.
That's one of the most amazing testimonies I've ever heard. And it's inspiring. How many people can forgive the man who murders your wife and son, unborn son? I mean, how can that, God can do it because God knows the big picture, the long term. You know, he can use these troubles, these pains, these sins, you know, and he can turn them into goodness and righteousness. What a testimony that is for anyone out there. Anyone. You know, it's a sad story of Steve Jobs lost his life too soon. I think he was 56 years old, to cancer. But he had one particular sin he never let go of that we know of that was publicly known anyway, and that was his father and mother were never married. His father was Syrian. His mother was not American, typical. And anyway, he did get to know his mother. He was adopted, so he was abandoned. So he had that guilt, shame over him that he was abandoned. He'd never make it. The enemy used him with all that garbage. Partly as part of what drove him to push for success all the time, probably. But the point is that he knew he'd get to know his sister, believe it or not, but he did not ever encounter his father. And it was almost on purpose. He ate at his father's restaurant in the Bay Area. One time we know, maybe more than that, but he never acknowledged him. He never was willing to say, you know, thank you for birthing me. At least they didn't abort him. You know what I mean?
or even forgive me for the bitterness, resentment I've held against you all these years. But anyway, that I am totally convinced that cancer has so much to do with sin. People, unforgiveness, in other words, that resides, that tension, that hurt inside creates physical issues. We're first in a body, soul, and we have a spirit or a place for our spirit to be connected with Christ. And if it's empty, we'll be bounced around in the world's thinking about bitterness, shame, all that garbage stuff that goes on in the world. We got to let it go. God has a purpose. That's why Christ died on the cross. He let it go for us. He let it go for us because we'd be still living in a world all about the law and never be able to measure up. Nobody can. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to make it, by living the law. The law has got principles there, but Christ brought the spirit of the law, which is a deeper intent of the love and the mercy and forgiveness that he brought as well, so we can make progress and make changes in the world. God can do great things in us through the grace of God. The less sin you have in you, the less unforgiveness you have in you, the less shame, the less guilt, the less condemnation, the less the enemy can beat you up with stinking thinking, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're never going to make it, blah, 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 all that yakety, 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 stuff that goes on everybody's mind. We talked about the 5-second rule that this lady wrote a book on that. God gives you visions and ideas, and within 5 seconds, you're going to hear the negatives. It's going to come into your mind. It's going to be, oh, you can't do that. You're not. Well, that's all part of the, again, Christ said, the secret to the kingdom of God is found in the parable of the sower. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the most repeated parable of the whole New Testament. God's trying to get to through us. Even if we don't know him personally yet, he's still trying to use us and still work through us and protect us and guide us and be with us. But it's so much more joyful when we're in a full relationship with him, because then he knows it. He has the joy that we have when things are accomplished or things are changed or healing comes. It's a loving situation that God has for us. Listen to Paul Davis. This guy built, I got a chance to work with him for 10 years. He built a company that became international, Paul Davis Systems. They do adjustments in homes where they have fire damage or smoke damage, and they rebirth that home, that facility. They work with insurance companies to get all that done. And he built it, started from scratch, no high school education, amazing story. But listen to what Paul said and what he learned about forgiveness from
the
a man.
Big events are what I call watershed events. Yes. That change the direction of your life.
Right.
And one of the biggest watershed events of my life, Clarence Stiefel, I don't know whether you know Clarence or not.
I remember the name.
He was my insurance agent. And I had two people, the one in Atlanta and one in Tallahassee, who were just totally misusing me. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. Mm-hmm. And Clarence came in and one day, and we talked for a little while. He said, I want to leave this book with you. Mm-hmm. And it was 10 Ways to a Peaceful Life or something to that extent, written years ago by one of the guys in New England. And so I took the book and sat it aside. About a week or so later, I went over and I was just away from my desk, and I picked it up and came back and read it, and there were 10 lessons in that. The only one that really meant to me was to forgive those who sin against you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so I thought about that, and I went over and sat down, and I brought each of those people into my mind, and I forgave them.
Oh, good.
And it was like taking a 100-pound weight
really
off of my shoulders.
Praise
to be
God.
Rid of that.
That's good.
And that doesn't mean that, one of them still comes up from time to time and I have to go back through the same process. Mm-hmm. But it really taught me that what was killing me was not the work, and this was long before we got out of the business, but what was killing me was my reaction to those two people. Mm-hmm. They actually had control of my life without even knowing
right
that they had it.
Yeah.
But they lost it without knowing they lost it also. Yeah. But that's why so much of what I write about, so much about I teach about is forgiving.
Amen.
Yeah, and a truth that I learned shortly, well, not a long time ago, but short time based on the length of my life, in reading, I forget the pastor thing, but he talked about the most powerful word in the Bible. And he goes on and he explains it's the word as.
Hmm.
Where Christ says, forgive us our trespasses even as you forgive we forgive others. And so it's what he's saying is, forgive us in the same manner that we forgive others.
Yeah.
And so what that literally means is, you can't expect God to forgive your sin if you're not willing to forgive the sins of others.
Right.
And it was one of the most powerful words, one of the most powerful, it has had an amazing impact
that's
on
beautiful.
My life.
I could see that too. You could see he's worked with, he had, close to 300 franchisees by the time he sold the business around the country and in Canada. I think they were opening up in England at the time, but the company had sold years ago, but the new company brought him back not long ago. He's in his 80s, not in the best health, but what an amazing guy he is, and what a great testimony that is, forgiving. I mean, there's in business, you're going to have a lot of people offend you, a lot of people, you know, because you're trying to work on projects together and you don't know people that well and you don't socialize with them as often, you know what I mean, as you would family members. But listen to this story. Here's another great one. This is Joe Jameson talking about servant leadership in a corporate environment. This is an amazing story.
There's departments in our company, and my department and another department that's actually headquartered out of Kansas City. And we have we had a massive turf war going on for about 3 months. The vice president, my contemporary, out of Kansas City, he and I met in Milwaukee. This actually was 3 weeks ago. We met in Milwaukee. And we set this restaurant, and we were going to hammer that thing out. And we sit down there. I told him what I did. He told him what he did. And when we left that table, we had an agreement. We shook hands on this agreement. This, you know, Clark, this is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. We'll be buds. You know, we high five, you know, blood brothers, and we're going to be friends forever and ever and ever. Okay? This is on Thursday. On Sunday afternoon, I go into company emails. I'm sitting there. And there's this email from Clark to the president of our company, and he just buried me. He just buried me. And I'll tell you something. I felt absolutely, totally betrayed. And whether this is right, wrong, or indifferent, that probably is a huge flaw on my part. But sometimes, it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I'll get so angry that my vision blurs. And I was livid. I was off the chart angry. And I said, you know what? I am going to even the score. So I was going to send the email to all, and what he did is he when he sent the email to the president, he CC'd the CFO, the COO, the executive vice president, and the three senior vice presidents. Well, you can't let that email just sit out there without responding to it, you know? So in my mind, I mean, I was livid. So I was going to send the email that just nuked the village, man. It was going to be a scorched earth policy, and he was going to be sorry he ever messed with Joe Jamerson. He was going to be so doggone sorry. And I cannot begin to express. I'm not doing a very good job of expressing to you how absolutely angry I was at this whole situation.
Oh, I think we did.
We got it.
So Monday morning. So I get in the car, and I like to listen to Bill Bennett in the morning. Turn on Bill. I cannot get interest in Bill Bennett. But the sports station could not get interested in that. You know, went to AM 690, could not get interested in that. Went to 550 AM, could not get interested in that. Went to 88.1, could not get interested in that. And I'm a very big classical music fan, so I popped in my favorite piano concerto, the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto, and I thought, oh, that's a stupid can. Turn it off, you know. And I'm really, you know, I cannot wait to get to the office because this joker is gonna be sorry he ever messed with me. So I turned the radio back on. I hit scan, and for the first time in my entire life, we landed on AM 1600, which is a Catholic station. And the very second it landed there, I heard this very cherubic voice say, well, you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we being Christians in the workplace, we have an occasion to work with somebody who we know are not a Christian. And they do things to wrong us, and we feel like we've been wronged. And our natural reaction is to reach out and try to even the score. But what better time to show the love of Christ than to reach out to that person at that time?
Praise God.
Now.
You're a pleasure to know here.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. Pulled the car over because I started crying. So I went back to my office, and this is the email that I composed. Dear David. David's our president of our company. Dear David. I first want to start by saying that I think that Clark's email is very harshly worded. However, when I step back and I try to put myself in his position, I can see how Clark became angered, and I can see how he had become offended by this. And for that, and I put in parentheses in big red, Clark, I apologize. And if there's any other department in this office that I have caused to become embarrassed because of two departments fighting, I sincerely apologize because this was not my intention. As a matter of fact, when I got on my 9 o'clock meeting, I'm going to call Clark and Craig, and apologize to you personally for this. But I want to walk you through my decision-making process at step one, step two. Now, in conclusion, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to direct you back to the second sentence. I sincerely apologize had I ever caused any wrong to anybody else. Sent the email.
Wow, is that good or not? I love that. That's a powerful story. Joe Jamerson, anyway, neat guy. I don't know if he's going to go on the mission trips. I think... last time I talked to him was probably a year ago, but outstanding individual. Servant leadership in action. God wants us to forgive. Forgive. Let's literally do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. Forgive the people you're bitter toward right now. Right now. Just do it right now. Anyway, this is John Beener with Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us. Come back tomorrow. We'll have more good stuff like this. All right. God bless you. Talk.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beener. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beener. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth. We hear a lot about the cultural decline today. Much is said about the need to embrace the alternative lifestyle. These are just a few of the relevant subjects that will be discussed on Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church. Let's Face the Issues can be heard daily at 11:30 a.m. You may also call in and ask your questions. Dr. Youngblood will respond to biblical, theological, as well as other political or cultural issues.
Here's what's coming up on I Work For Him. This week on I Work For Him, Martha and I head home for some much-needed rest and reconnection in our home state of Minnesota. All week long, we'll be bringing you interviews from all over the state, highlighting what God's doing in the land of 10,000 lakes and a trillion mosquitoes. Connecting what we hear on Sunday with what we do in our 9-to-5 because the eternity of millions is at stake. Tune into I Work For Him every weekday at 2 p.m. on The Truth at FM 91.7 and Talk 100.3 FM at 5 p.m. or anytime access at iworkforhim.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Russia's Vladimir Putin says he did want Donald Trump to win the 2016 presidential election, but took no action to make it happen, calling the collusion claims utter nonsense in a joint news conference in Helsinki after their one-on-one. He also said he favored the businessman because of his policies and his tough stance on accountability. Federal Judge Dana Sabral today ordering a temporary halt to deportations for a week after families just reunited after they were separated when they crossed the border illegally were sent back. The ACLU filed paperwork claiming attorneys were concerned about rumors of mass deportations. A Trump administration official likened the situation to a hamster wheel. An explosion from the Kilauea volcano sent lava flying through the roof of a tour boat off the Big Island today, injuring 13 people. And the Dow, after most of the day in the red, ending up 45 to close 25,064. NASDAQ closing down 20. S&P down 3. This is SRN News.
In Metro Jacks, the major expressway is looking good right now. No active accidents, but there is a disabled vehicle in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound at the exit at State Road 206. Be careful there. And in Nassau County, we have another disabled truck on I-95 southbound. That's the ramp to State Road 200. That's the Yulee exit. Scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Tuesday will start out partly sunny, high 90.